This is Digital Story Podcast number 1022, October 21st, 2025. Today's theme is How I Lost My Shirt on a Wedding Photo Assignment. I'm Derek Story. We all know that wedding photo assignments can be challenging, but you shouldn't lose your shirt in the process. Here's one such story that happened last week. Plus, DxO Film Pack 8, Annie Leibovitz, and more. All waiting for you on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. So we had a pretty good plan for last Thursday. It was a family event, a family day for sure. Both of my boys, Max and Zach, live in San Francisco now. Zach is in the process of moving up from Southern California, changed jobs, and is working with the Golden State Warriors now. And we're getting him moved into his first bachelor apartment. Yes, he's been living with roommates his entire life since moving out of the house. And now he has his own place in San Francisco. And I have to say he's pretty thrilled about it. But we had to leave all of his old stuff behind when he moved out of SoCal. And we want to start fresh in his new place because it's a whole different kind of pad, you know. It's a smaller apartment. You can't have the giant sectional couch in it or there'd be nowhere to walk. You know, that kind of stuff. So we're helping him with that. And we actually had a bed frame that we wanted to take up to him. We had it delivered at our house because he was at work. And then we were going to take it up and set it up on last Thursday. Now, why did we choose Thursday? Well, because my other son, Max, was getting married. That's right. He's getting married. Well, he's married now, but he was getting married last Thursday at the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful San Francisco City Hall. It is an absolutely gorgeous place with a huge rotunda, a beautiful architectural design. I mean, it is stunning. I had never been inside of it before until Max's wedding day. So we thought we'd be super efficient. We'd go down early in the morning, take the bed frame, get Zach all set up. Then we went to lunch. Then we would change clothes and go to City Hall. And I was the ceremony photographer for this particular occasion. And it was interesting what Max and his wife, Alexis, wanted. They did not want, traditional pictures in the sense of, you know, the fill flash, color photos sort of thing. She in particular was very interested in having it recorded as existing light, black and white. And so we had a discussion. Now, originally, she was thinking that, you know, I would shoot it in film. And I was thinking about this. And what I decided, and I actually have an article on medium.com right now that details this whole thing. And I'll put the link in the show notes if you want to read that part of it. But as I was thinking about it, I totally get the look that you want, but shooting existing light, black and white film for a wedding these days, I would say is a risky proposition. It really is, especially not having been inside the venue before and not really knowing what I was walking into. What I proposed to them is that, how about I do this? I'll shoot with my Nikon mirrorless camera. I will use Tri-X film simulation mode for the JPEGs, and then I'll also record RAWs, which I can convert to color later on. And for that color, I had in mind using a DxO Film Pack 8, which I'm going to talk about later in this podcast, and using the Fujicolor 400H, the Fujicolor Pro 400H, film simulation, which was my absolute favorite film when I had to shoot film for weddings back in the day. So I had a good plan. I had the Nikon all packed, the batteries were charged, had a couple prime lenses, And what Max and Alexis did was they had a shoot before the ceremony, before we even got there. They had a shoot before the ceremony with a photographer they hired, a couple of, looks like, very, very nice women who definitely knew what they're doing. I got to watch for a few minutes on my way in. And so then they did all that stuff around City Hall, the engagement photos, you know, all that kind of photography that you want, you know, those couples photos, all that good stuff. So they had that shoot before the wedding. But the thing about City Hall is you can only have a limited number of people attend the actual ceremony. And the reason for that, it's conducted up at the top of the stairs in the rotunda, and it is a very intimate area, and it's fantastic because it's the officiant and the couple, and then I think you can have up to 10 family members, but no more, all up there in this space overlooking the entire rotunda. It is just absolutely gorgeous. But you don't want to waste those people that you have. So having a dad who's also a photographer worked out really well for them. So they could have me do the pictures during the ceremony, not have to waste an extra slot. So we had a really good plan. We left in the morning. We packed all of our stuff, went down there in our casual clothes, jeans. I had a jeans, long sleeve t-shirt, you know, that kind of thing. Got Zach all set up, and we still had enough time before the ceremony to go have lunch. It was fun. So up until that moment, the day had gone really smoothly. I was very happy. We had plenty of time to get over to City Hall for the wedding. My camera was all ready to go. So all we had to do was change clothes and then head over there. Teresa had her case of clothes and everything. I had my suit bag, I had my shoes, my different shoes, my nicer shoes, a different belt, you know, all that kind of stuff. I decided to go tie-less, just open collar, but I had a really nice long sleeve blue shirt that looked good with my dark suit. And so that's what I was going to wear it open collar. So we're getting ready in Zach's apartment. We decided that we're going to take a Waymo over to the courthouse, which I've never been in, which is a driverless taxi. No driver. You tell it where you want to go, and it gets you there. And it was a lot of fun. That was my first Waymo ride, and I really enjoyed it. So we're getting dressed, you know, so I open my suit bag, pull out the jacket, pull out the pants, you know, pull out the belt, all that kind of stuff. And I go, wait a minute, where's my dress shirt? And I had this, like, this feeling, this, you know, like when you lose your car keys or you lose your phone, or you feel like you left your phone back in a taxi. You know, that feeling? I had that feeling right then. And I'm looking in the closet where I had everything hung up. It's not there. I had forgotten my dress shirt. So I just like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Zach and Teresa are looking at me like, well, they're looking at me like, how could you forget your shirt? But then after that look, they're going, well, maybe we could go somewhere on the way and get you a shirt. Here's the thing. When you're 6'7", right, you just don't go somewhere and get a dress shirt unless you want, you know, the sleeves to be, you know, halfway up your arm. I can't just go to any store, especially, you know, like I couldn't go to like any shop there in Chinatown and get something that's going to fit. So what I had on was a long sleeve t-shirt. Fortunately, it didn't have any writing or anything on it. It's just a long sleeve t-shirt, plum colored, dark plum colored. And I said, you know what? I am just going to go with this t-shirt. I'll wear my jacket, I'll wear my pants, I'll tuck the t-shirt in. I had a nice belt buckle, and I'm just going to own this situation. It's going to go this way. Another kind of wrinkle to all of this is the first time that I'm meeting Alexis' parents. I had never had a chance to meet them before, it just didn't work out. And so this was going to be my first impression on my son's bride's family. So I'm going, okay, not a problem. I can own that too. So again, all dressed. I have the t-shirt on underneath the jacket and everything. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, you know, this isn't that horrible, really. It wasn't that bad. I said that to Zach and I said that to Teresa, and I didn't really get the warm response that I was hoping for. I was hoping for some words of encouragement, you know, like, yeah, you know what? That's kind of cool. You look kind of, you know, artistic. You look like an artist that's going to take their pictures for their wedding. I didn't get any of that at all. However, they didn't say that I looked horrible either. So I said, okay, I'll take it. Here's the only rule. We're not going to say a word to anyone during the whole day. Just us three are the only three that know that I forgot my shirt and that I wasn't intentionally wearing this under my suit jacket and pants. Everyone agreed. Off we go. And we're there. I meet everyone. We're shaking hands. We're saying hello. I'm starting to take pictures because I started recording the event journalistic style inside City Hall. So I got like a cool shot of them in line to get the marriage certificate handled. I got some other shots, some of which I used in the article where I talk about, you know, the more technical side of all of this. I was taking pictures and just working. And I have to say the long sleeve t-shirt was pretty comfortable under the jacket. No one said anything. No one looked at me funny. Off to the races I went. Now, there's a picture in the show notes of me in this outfit. So if you want to see what I really look like, it's there in the show notes. You know, boy, did I make a good call going the digital route instead of trying to do the film route. The officiant was very nice. He was really a sweetheart. And one of the first things he asked me was, which way do you want them to face? Do you want them facing so that the background is the open rotunda, or do you want them turned around the other way so you have more of an even light with the back of this little area here? And I go, we're going for the gusto, right? So I said, no, I would like their backs with the open rotunda because I just think it's spectacular, and we're up a couple flights of stairs and it was just beautiful. Had I had a film camera only, I probably would have had to go the other way because the back lighting was changing as the lighting was changing. I would have been very nervous trying to meter for them because I didn't have a fill light to even things out. So I had to meter on them and then let everything else go the way that it was going to go. One of the big advantages to doing the Tri-X film simulation instead of actual Tri-X is that even though they're JPEGs, I can still recover some highlight in post if I need to, and I can still open up shadows a bit in post if I need to. Not as much as RAW files, but we're not talking a whole lot because you still want the film look. You don't want this perfect. You want to have that kind of edgy Tri-X artistic look, which these did. Having the digital camera and shooting film simulation allowed me to really go for it. And I will tell you that I was adjusting exposure compensation all over the place during the entire ceremony, depending on where I metered and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So with film, oh my gosh, my loss would have been high. Let's say for 36 exposures, I probably would have lost half the shots just with metering issues that would be difficult to anticipate. With the digital camera, with the mirrorless, my hit rate was super high because I was looking at the world in monochrome, in Tri-X, and as the lighting changed, I could see it and adjust accordingly. So the shoot went really well. And then afterwards, we had like some stops to do. We were going to go somewhere, have a drink, you know, just the wedding party. And then we're going to have a dinner where Alexis had set up a table there. They were very nice. And they allowed her to decorate a special table just for us. And I'm shooting pictures all along the way, chatting with folks, the whole deal. None of the wedding party know that I forgot my shirt and that I was not intentionally wearing a t-shirt to my son's wedding. So you guys know more right now than the actual family knows who were there in attendance. What is my takeaway and why am I telling you this story? My takeaway is this. Things always seem to have a little bump in the road here and there. Weddings for sure, but any sort of event, especially when we're doing something, when we're the photographer or we're the second shooter or we're involved somehow, you know, making this thing happen, there are always bumps in the road. And the one thing that I learned from my years of doing weddings and events is that just go with plan B or just go with plan C and act like it was plan A. If you do that, you'll be surprised at how often you can pull things off. Just don't let those bumps in the road derail you. Just go right over them and act like that was the plan all along. That's what I did last Thursday. It turned out great. I love the pictures. And like I said, if you want to read more about the shoot itself, I'll have a link to the free article in the show notes. And congratulations, Max and Alexis. Great choice for your venue, and it was a beautiful wedding. Let's take care of a little camera industry news right now. I'm going to start out with this piece on PhotoFocus titled Exciting News, DxO FilmPak 8 has arrived. Yes, and I like FilmPak a lot. I haven't upgraded for a couple iterations of this. I do have 8, and I did use 8 for the RAW files that I'm delivering to Max and Alexis with the color shots because the film simulations are so good in FilmPak 8. They're just incredible. And that allowed me to use the Fuji Color 400H film simulation, which just looked fantastic. For those of you that don't know about FilmPak and know that there's a new version out, 8, I'm going to read you this post or some of this post on PhotoFocus, and there's a link in the show notes. As someone who adores blending the magic of old school film with the freedom of digital, I couldn't be more excited about the release of DxO FilmPak 8. This update is a true gift for photographers who love storytelling through mood, texture, and history. The standout feature for me is a brand new Time Warp mode, a brilliant slider that lets you move your images through 200 years of photographic history. Imagine taking one of your modern photos and instantly seeing how it would have looked had it been captured by early mid-century film stocks or classic 35mm favorites. Add in the Ageify slider and you can distress or age your photos beautifully in authentic ways. Equally exciting is the full Photoshop integration. No more bouncing between programs. You now have FilmPak's entire film library at your fingertips while you edit. That's going to make my own creative workflow much more fluid. On top of that, DxO has added 15 new film renderings, including CineStill 800T, a cinematic dream for low-light lovers, and Harman Phoenix 200, along with new black and white classics. There are now 153 authentic film looks to explore. Other highlights include a scan film optimizer for working with negatives and slides, new time machine images, themed browsing for inspiration, and even digital profiles inspired by Fujifilm and Sony cameras. Plus, all effects, textures, frames, and light leaks are now rendered in high resolution, perfect for today's megapixel heavy files. For me, FilmPak 8 is more than just a software upgrade. It's like stepping into a time machine for photography, giving us all tools to play, experiment, and breathe new life into our images. And I couldn't agree more. I have to tell you that it was a joy to use. I loved the renderings that I was able to get. I haven't turned over the color gallery yet. I got the black and white gallery to Max and Alexis right away because, well, they were already black and white images and all I had to do is a little bit of cropping and things like that. Posted the gallery and they're already on Instagram, those shots. But I've been working on the color gallery, which they didn't even ask for, but I'm thinking that they may want it, especially after they see some of these shots and colors. The big shots, especially like the rotunda and things like that, look fantastic in color. And they might be a nice complement to the work that the photographers they hired to do as well. So I'll probably have that gallery to them in a couple days. But if you're new to Film Pack 8 or you haven't upgraded in a while, it is terrific. And I think, honestly, their film simulations are the best in the business. At least the emulsions that I know inside and out that I used for years look right on the screws with Film Pack 8. And then you can do all these cool things with the images after you've applied the simulation. The list price, if you just buy it outright for Mac or Windows, is $149. I believe she has a discount code where you can get 15% off. And that discount code is in the article. And so you can check it out there. But it's a terrific application. And for like the shoot that I just did, Film Pack 8 is a great tool to have. Annie Leibovitz is the WPPI 2026 keynote speaker. And I think this is kind of a big deal. I mean, WPPI is a great show already, you know, the Wedding and Portrait Photographers International Conference. And they always have good keynote speakers, but having Annie Leibovitz is really exceptional. Very excited about this. So let me read you what Petapixel has to say. I have a link in the show notes. WPPI, the Wedding and Portrait Photographers International Conference, is stepping up its game and is poised to put its name back in the minds of photographers as it has announced Annie Leibovitz as the 2026 keynote presenter at the show that takes place in Las Vegas from March 1 through March 5th, 2026. WPPI was once regarded as one of the top two most influential in-person events for photographers in the United States and easily the most important on the West Coast. It and Photo Plus were must-attend events, but even prior to COVID-19 pandemic, which absolutely had an effect on in-person events, the importance of these two events had waned. Photo Plus collapsed, as did Create NYC, which was the organizer's attempt to revive it. But WPPI has carried on. It seems as though the event's organizers are not content to simply existing and want to put the show back on the map. Here's a quote from the article from VP of the photo group at Emerald, which produces the conference. Few artists have shaped modern photography the way Annie Leibovitz has for more than 5 decades, and we are honored to have her as our keynote presenter to open WPPI 2026. Her work has inspired generations of photographers, and the opportunity to hear from her live at WPPI 2026 is something our community will never forget. She's the perfect person to kick off a conference built around creativity, passion, and the future of our industry. I agree. She is a great choice, right? Leibovitz is just part of WPPI's plan to revamp its offerings starting next year. The organizers promised 25% more seminars, 50% more speakers, a new Future in Photography course, and a set of one-day courses called Summits, which promise to focus on business, marketing, portraiture, lighting, boudoir, and wedding photography. As the photography world rapidly evolves, shaped by new technologies, new tools, and new ways of creating, WPPI is committed to developing new educational initiatives to empower its most important resource, its community. That's a quote from WPPI. And finally, they wrap up by saying, at its core, WPPI is a place where creativity grows through shared ideas conducted face-to-face and continues well beyond 5-day conference. WPPI is a year-round platform for photographers to learn, grow, and lead the future of photography together. Pretty exciting stuff. Pretty exciting stuff indeed. Speaking of cool things, this piece on Amateur Photographer, I love this sale. I'm going to talk about the latest square print sale from Magnum. And they have also outdone themselves with this particular theme. Here we go. Springsteen, James Dean, Bardot own a portrait of a legend for less. Magnum Photos has teamed up with photography book publisher Aperture to offer the discounted prints in its latest square print sale, this time with the theme of youth. Youth captures the buzz of growing up and brings together icons in their prime. Dennis Stock's enigmatic portrait of James Dean, Danny Clinch's shot of Bruce Springsteen's, Philip Halsman's image of Brigitte Bardot. Other images include less well-known subjects, but they are superb examples of photographic art capturing many aspects of youth and youth culture across the decades. Big-name photographers represented in the print sale include Robert Frank, Eve Arnold, Joe Meyerowitz, Martin Parr, and Robert Capa. So don't miss this chance to own a piece of photographic history. Over 100 signed or estate-stamped museum-quality 6x6-inch prints will be available online from today until Sunday, October 26, starting at $110. And then they have a link for the full details. I have 3 of the square prints on the wall in the studio here, and I just love them. I mean, honestly, I just love them. 2 of them are estate stamped, and 1 of them is actually signed outright. $100, photographic history right here in my studio. So I'm scanning through the shots here. I love the shot of Bruce Springsteen. The James Dean shot is iconic. I mean, this is really good stuff. So if you're interested in owning some photography history here and some really cool shots, for instance, Johnny Rotten and Sid Vicious of the Sex Pistols on a plane with an unknown little girl from London to Brussels, 1977. There's just some crazy stuff here. If you want to own some photography history, this square print sale is the way to go, and this seems like a particularly good one. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I want to start out talking about live view again. I touched on it last week, and that is our photography publication on medium.com. We have a number of Inner Circle members who write for it, and that's the part I wanted to touch on today. I have a link to it. I always have a link to Live View in the show notes where you can go and look at our weekly pub there. I publish articles there regularly. Michael Alford does. We have, like I said, a number of people that you show up at workshops with writing for Live View. And if you like to write and if you are interested in writing about photography and you want to have a supportive environment to do that, not to mention that, you know, Medium.com actually has a partner program so that you can earn money for your writing, you know, depending on the number of views and all that kind of stuff. If you're interested in doing something like this, please send me an email at dstory@gmail.com and let me know what you're thinking. We're always looking for new writers. We want to expand the publication. We want to build our readership, and all of this happens by bringing fresh voices into the publication itself. So if you're interested, drop me a note. If you want to read the articles, then just go to medium.com/live-view, and they're all there. And this is a wonderful resource, lots of photography information, lots of inspiration as well. And I also want to give a shout out to our writers who just do an exceptional job of making this publication so interesting to read. I want to acknowledge our Patreon members. These are the folks that support this podcasting community month in and month out. So, Inner Circle members, I am working on the workshop schedule for next year. I still have 1 more event this year. It's only 2 weeks away. I can't wait for it to start. And then after that, I will be putting the final pieces together for our 2026 workshop schedule. I'm hoping to have that out before Thanksgiving. The reason why I'm mentioning that right now is because Inner Circle members get a discount on all of our workshops. whether they're online or they're in person. And if you attend an in-person workshop, the discount more than covers your annual Inner Circle pledge. Not to mention that you will find out about the workshop season a week before the public. So Inner Circle members get the opportunity to reserve their spot for workshops before the general public finds out about them. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, now is kind of a good time to do that, especially if you want to participate in our online or our physical workshops in 2026. And I can tell you, we're going to have a lovely schedule, lots of interesting stuff. I think you're going to really enjoy it. And I also want to say to our Inner Circle members, thank you so much for your continued support. You are the engine to this podcast, and I truly appreciate it. And finally, I want to acknowledge our good friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of The Digital Story. It's so interesting because I was talking, during the course of wedding day after the ceremony with Alexis about her adventures in printing. I mentioned a few podcasts back that she was printing materials for the wedding. And she was saying that, I think I used more paper than I really wanted to get the look that I wanted. She goes, I think Red River Paper is going to be very happy with me and my multiple orders. But the fact of the matter is that, and this is what I told her, that you can cut your paper usage down a lot just by learning a few things about how to prepare the images before you actually print them out. And I pointed her to some resources, and I'll be talking to her as well about this. And Red River Paper also on their site has resources to help you print as efficiently as possible, so you will save ink and you will save paper, but still get the results you want. And that's one of the things that I like so much about them. Not only do they have great paper, but they have the educational materials to help you use that paper efficiently. If you want to learn more about inkjet printing or get some paper for yourself, just click on the tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story, nose around a bit, place your order, learn how to efficiently print, and then make some artwork of your own. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show, working on more stuff for next week. Until then, get out there, take some pictures, stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.